Chevra, it's always a schuss to be together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. During these halakha days of Yemei Svira, which are very big days of growth, very big days that we're working on ourselves. You know, Svira feels like a very long time. So if any special times during the year, it's probably the longest in a sense. Well, not almost, right? Shavuot is a little bit longer. No, Shavuot is shorter. Depends on the tat year, correct. So it's a very long period of time, but somehow it also goes by very, very quickly. And we're already tonight, I counted already, but if you didn't count, it's the 19th day of the Omer. And before you know it, these days will be over. We have to make the most of them, big days of growth. I want to, before we begin anything tonight, just thank Yedid Nafshi, my Talmud, who's mamish, like a son to me, Rav Mordechai and Hadassah Bennett, for sponsoring tonight's Torah, tonight's Tzoros, tonight's Chizuk. They want to sponsor tonight's Torah for a very special reason. It's very beautiful. We'll get to that. I'll explain it in a moment. I'll preempt it with a short just story, not even a story, just an idea, maybe kind of a story. About 7 years ago, I was zoich to be in Eretz Yisrael for my son's bar mitzvah in the summer. This summer will be 7 years. And one of the things you do, I mean, anytime you're in Israel, but specifically when you're going for bar mitzvah, you go around for brachas. We spend time by a lot of tzaddikim. It's very, very special. And that trip, I had the chus to be with a tzaddik only, and it was the only time I was ever with him in my life. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vozner Zeches Adekaj Bracha.
Cousin.
Of course.
He can't be your first cousin.
I'm sorry, just that doesn't work out generationally. Okay. It's got to be, but it's all good. Anyways, first getting back to where we're going. So the Shevet HaLevi.
First cousin.
The Shevet HaLevi. The Shevet HaLevi was already in his hundreds at the time. Rav Vozner, here's it. A Talmud of Yeshiva Chachme Lublin. The Gadol Hadar, the Poisek Hadar. And he wasn't really seeing people anymore at this point in his life. He was fully, Baruch Hashem, fully there, B'chachma and every understanding, but he was very old and frail, and he wasn't really seeing people much. But Baruch Hashem, my father's Rebbe, and someone I had this chus to learn by also, a Rebbe of mine, I learned Nida well by, my father's learned all of Halacha by, the Shevet HaLevi's grandson, Rav Vozner, who's an Av Bezdin now, Muncie. So my father, through his anacle, was able to get us to meet with the tzaddik. It was really incredible. And we went in, and he spoke and gave chizik to my son, to Shmuel. I think he was nifter, if I'm not mistaken, within the year later. It was not much longer. Come. And going in, I thought to myself, what could I ask this tzaddik for, a bracha for? This, you know, each tzaddik you go to and you meet with, there's specific kochos you want to tap into and you want to be inspired by. So I said, to me, the Shevet HaLevi in my life is the Pesach Adar. When it comes to halacha, Psak halacha, was the top. Specifically in Hilchos Nidos, Mamish was, ain't no doyman anyone to him. So I said to myself, at that point already, I still, today, 7 years later, I don't think of myself and don't feel I have so much to learn and so much to grow. But started already before that, starting feeling comfortable answering shailos of Talmidim, of Talmidot, of people, not necessarily in every area. You have to feel and know that you're a Bar Hachi, and many areas I don't, and I immediately will call my own Rebbeim. But I was already found myself answering a lot of shailos in Hilchos Shabbos, a lot of shailos in Hilchos Nida. A lot of shailas in all areas of life. So I asked for a bracha in Siyata Deshmaya that when I paskin a shaila, it should be emes and it should be what the Eibishter wants and it should be Ratzon Hashem. Because it's scary to have other people's lives on your hands and be responsible for that. It's something very, very real. And that's what I asked, and I still today, I remember asking him this and looking and hearing, he gave us this incredible, like, long bracha about that in a very special way. And till today, I still think about that. And I have a nechama, especially when there are some very difficult shailas that come one's way. And you have to, even when I go and talk it out with Rabbeim, and still sometimes we together come up with something with people much bigger than I. And it's like you're paskening people's lives and paskening the world. But it's a bracha that I feel so strongly with me, and I have a nechama from that bracha, knowing I have the bracha of the tzaddik in the psak that I give. So, why am I saying that? Rav Mordechai, my Talmud, Yudinafshi, he wanted that tonight, he's, Baruch Hashem, he's now an administrator, principal in a school in Baltimore, and he finds himself, obviously, making a lot of decisions for the yeshiva, for the Talmidim, Talmidot, and for everything that he's dealing with, and some big decisions that are going to affect people's lives forever. And he wanted tonight's shiur, yes, that he could sponsor, that it should be a schus, that those decisions should be properly, and I should have siyata yishmayim and all. So Mirtz Hashem, all the Torah, the chizik, the zayrus, should be for the siyata yishmayim and all these big decisions, and hopefully uplifting people's lives in the most beautiful voice.
Amen.
You open up this week's parasha, Parshios, you have Tazria Mitzora. Right away, we're talking about Bris Milah. Right away, Yishiki Tazria. We talk about Bris Milah. We talk about having a Bris Milah. And I couldn't get past that. Because Bris Milah is Yesod. Bris Milah is fundamental, the foundation. I remember once hearing an incredible, very simple, but most beautiful stories of a woman in Russia during communist Russia, where religion was against the law, and it wasn't simple to have a bris milah for a child. And this woman finally, this family finally was able to have a bris milah for their child when the child was 3 months old. And immediately after the mother did the bris milah, the mother took this baby and started hugging and kissing the baby. It's a little bit strange. You could understand a mother cuddling the baby, taking care of the baby after the pain, the whatever. But like hugging and kissing, he's never seen anything like that. He says, "What happened? Why? And the mother said she made a neder not to hug or kiss her baby until he had a bris milah. Not to hug or kiss the baby, her baby, until she made a bris milah. You know what it is to have a baby? Baruch Hashem, I just got a call a few minutes ago from a Talmud who's making a bris this Sunday, Avram Spitz, Mazel Tov, Shalom B'Simcha Bracha. We'll talk about it in a moment. But that woman understood how crucial, how important it is to have a bris milah. A bris milah is yisod shebisodos. There's so much to learn from that bris milah. We all, Baruch Hashem, sitting here have a bris milah, but we were 8 days old. We don't really remember it. But it's fundamental. And she understood that, and she knew that I don't want to bring myself to even hug or kiss my son until he has a bris milah. He's not shalom yet, and I want to hold back and make sure that I do everything in my ability to get him that bris milah. So the bris milah, it's very interesting, and we've all been by a bris milah. I mean, we were at our own at one point, and we've been by many others. And we make two brachas. We make a bracha of Asher Kedishanu B'Sosefanu Ala Milah. We make a bracha of Lachnitzu Yibrisu Ab Mito. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but isn't that so strange? Where's that second bracha come into play? Like, when else do we have a mitzvah that we then make two brachas upon? I mean, there are tons, but there are always answers and reasons. Generally, it's one birchas mitzvah. What is this? We're making a bracha on the mitzvah and a bracha lachnisol lebrisol she'avram avinu. Like, is there a mitzvah lachnisol lebrisol she'avram avinu? There's a mitzvah, you get a bris milah, ala milah, shkoyach. Like, what is that bracha? You ever think about it? What that bracha is all about? Like, why are we tapping into it? Why are we talking about the bris of Avram Avinu? Yes, shkoyach, we know Avram had the first bris milah. It's very well known. He was 99 years old. We'll have to understand why so late in the game. But ultimately, like, why are we talking about that? So we learned something so beautiful. It's based on a Torah from the Shiloh Pinchas that I learned early in the week. Mamish been so excited to share this, Chevra. It's real Mamish special Torah. Even just to share this Zohar, which this Zohar I'm sure some of you have heard before, anyone who's learned Tanya, and we've mentioned here many times that we all have a chiyuv to learn Tanya, so I'm sure you've all finished it by now. Right? I mean, right? I hope. If not, get started. The Tanya in Perek Mem talks about this at length, this line in the Zohar, but for the sake of time, we're not going to go through all of Mem tonight. We're just going to read the one line in the Zohar, and Mirtz Hashem, if you have, I'm sure you have already, it's Chazor over Shabbos, to give you what to do to learn through the Tanya in Perek Mem. The Zohar says this in the Tikkuni Zohar, in Yud Chav Hei, the Chachma Bina Inun Nistaros B'moicha V'liba. Chachma and Bina, two different levels of wisdom, understanding, they're hidden in the brain and in the heart. It's pretty simple, we all know that, right? That's where, if anyone asked where one's understanding, it's in the brain and the heart. And that's something very important to understand as a Yid, that's in the heart as well, right? Our heart and our brain are one. V'seim b'libeinu bina lahavinu l'haskel. In the secular world, emotions is in the heart and understanding is in the brain. We understand it's all one and they're deeply interconnected. But then he continues that where do we find these manifested? Berechimo udchilu. Berechimo udchilu. We find it manifested. We find the manifestation of that in Ava and Yira. Our Ava and our Yira is hidden within it, is Chachma and Bina. And that's where we really show the manifestation of our Chachma and Bina, specifically in Torah mitzvahs. It's meaning, and let me just explain what that means. It means when you truly understand the mitzvah and connect to the mitzvah, so you can have Ava and Yira coexisting with the action of the mitzvah. It's not just that I do the mitzvah out of rote or mechanically, but I'm putting my Bina, my Chachma in it through my Ava and Yira that's intertwined within that mitzvah that I'm performing. So I don't just do it, but it's with a lot of Kavana. And he continues, and this is the line that really the Tanya speaks about at length. Raisa bidlo dechilu rechimo. When you have Torah, and that could be learning Torah, it could be mitzvahs in Torah. When you have a mitzvah, when you have Torah, without Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem synthesized within it, so it's really just an act, a physical act, going through the motions, like so many sadly do. Yeah, I have Shachris Mincha Meir, but which are really just Hebrew reading exercises, as we've mentioned before. But without b'li lev, without heart, and learning, which is an intellectual pursuit, but not with heart, and not with a connection to Hashem. And chesed, which is very beautiful, but merely, which is awesome to help somebody else, but void of any godliness in it. And void of any avan yira, rote, mechanical observance, which we see all too often. Listen to what I said. V'raisa below the chilu chimo, lo perchas leila. Lo perchas leila does not what? Does not fly up. Meaning it doesn't get to Shemayim. It like stays down here. It's not doing anything for us. The way that the Tanya says it has no godfin. The godfin are the wings. It's an act without godfin. The wings, you know, the avanir are the godfin, are the wings that carry the mitzvah, the limud Torah, up to Shemayim. If you don't have avanir intertwined, it's just physical. It doesn't mean there's no zchus to it and nothing, but it's mamish missing the boat. And so important just to understand, before we explain this, the importance of Rachman Aliba, boy. Hashem wants our heart. He wants us to not just serve Him, but to be one in that service with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and understand that every mitzvah we do is a love of Hashem. Every mitzvah we do is an awe of Hashem. And every time I daven, it's with that heart. And every time I learn, I stop and think I'm about to hug the Ribbono Shel Olam and connect to Hashem's Torah in the most beautiful of ways. And if I'm not doing that, I'm missing it all. I was talking to a mother earlier in the week of her son in a particular high school. We'll not give any more details than that. It's not the high school I'm in. I'll just so know people, you know, people would assume that maybe because the mother. So it's not, and I'm not going to go further about community where and what. But and she was lamenting to me how the school, you know, they learn, but it's like all just learning to learn, and there's no emotion and no connection to God and no connection to oneself and no care about, there's so much care about the Gemara and no care about the Talmud. And it was so sad. It was such a sad conversation, and I know this place. I know that Hashem Yirachim, we got to get him out of there, you know. And that's why we're in the middle of Sfiras Omer, and it's amazing. During Sfira, suddenly the whole world gets it. You know, those of us who really connect know there's, when we do mitzvahs, there are tefillahs of L'Shem Yichud by all mitzvahs. And Seder night in a lot of our gadas l'shem yichud b'fan. Every time we drink and every wine, every time we eat matzah, but it's only svira we all say l'shem yichud. It's only a svira we all say l'shem yichud because we're growing and preparing kabbalas haTorah. We realize it's time to have kavana. It's time to be have the av and the yira. That's what that feel of l'shem yichud is really to help us put us in the mindset to have the av and the yira, have the proper kavanas. The Noam Elimelech, the Hilger Rabbi Rebelech, he talks about this already. Also, yeah. Yes! Right, we found out only 9 generations, not 10, right? What is it?
9
generations. But Revozner's from the other side, or is it?
Both my father, but one's my father's mother.
And Noam Elimelech's also your first cousin? Okay,
second cousin.
So the Rabbi Rebelech, the Rabbi Rebelech says, I am jealous.
The girl.
Listen. Today was the yard of Rav Shaul Ben Ramayish Zechstam Kosh Barach of Shaul Karstir. My children have yichus from Shaul. Well, not exact, but my wife's
first cousin.
My wife's great 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 grandfather was the malamed for Shaul's children. All right. So that's where my children come from. That's not my yichus. That's her. But anyway, okay, let's learn. So the Noam Elimelech has this beautiful letter, a beautiful piece, which is really the idea is, it's pretty intense. Like, live by these words, and there's 17 ideas in what's called the Tzetel Katan. Tzetel Katan, this like small little thing of understanding, but it's big as could be. And the fourth one is as follows: B'chol hadvarim shebaolam, hein b'Torah, hein b'Tfila, hein b'Mitzvos, ma'isios. Yargils atzmo lomar. Every time you're learning, every time you're davening, every time you're doing mitzvah, you should be accustomed to say b'zeh haloshon. Harini oisa zos l'shem yichud kud shebriyich shchinte la'asois nachas ruach la'boris baruch shmo. The yargils atzmo lomar zos. Say that from the depth of my heart that I'm doing this to bring nachas ruach to Hashem. Okay, that's it. That's all the yichud. That's all the yichud. And eventually you'll start feeling it, he says. And eventually you'll start feeling it, he says. But he's telling you, you have to have kavanas. You have to think about the maisim that we're doing. Think about the Torah that we're learning. And why am I doing it? And those are the gadfin. Those are the wings. Without them, it's just an action. So based upon all this, we have a question. Again, we had one question already. Why do we make a second bracha lachniso b'bristol she'avim v'vinu? But based on what we just said, we said every mitzvah, if we want to make it meaningful, want to let it fly up to heaven and have any effect on my life, it has to have avan, yira, and kavana. We're working on that, each and every one of us. Nobody would be here at this shir at 10 to 12 on Erev Shabbos Kodesh if that's not what we wanted. We're not here just for intellectual pursuits and because mechanically and rote I get up to learn every day. You don't come here now. Those are not the people that are here. I know that. It's beautiful. It's awesome. I get the biggest chizik in the world from this year. But here's the question. An 8-day-old baby is having his bris milah. You tell me the 8-day-old baby has av of yira? The 8-day-old baby has l'shem yichud kud shebriyich shchinte b'tchilu rechimu yachid shem yudiv. Like, the 8-day-old baby is just crying in pain from having a serious cup. Right? Like, where's the Avan Yira? How could that mitzvah have gadfin? Where could that mitzvah fly up to Shemayim? This is a question many tzaddikim ask. The Shashalom of Bells explains, by the way, he gives an answer that obviously the 8-day-old you can't, but one day you'll be zoyche to bring your own child into this bris milah, and that's when you could instill the avan yira, which l'mafreya goes on your own bris. Interesting idea from Shalom Bells. But I want to share from your fetter, from Rav Zusha. I want to share from Noam Elimelech's brother, a Heilige Torah, a very special Torah. And I've been living with this Torah. This Torah, first of all, this Torah is an incredible lumdus. I mean, it's a lumdus, chassidish lumdus. to be able to answer this question, but there's a chizik behind the scenes that I can't stop thinking about. There's a Gemara in Chulin. You hear Chulin, you think it's not a complicated Gemara, so here's this one line. But Pinchas Ben Yair is talking to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Pretty nice conversation. I don't want to be in on that conversation. You know, like sometimes you're zoich to be at weddings, and at the chasna you have like certain gedolim and tzaddikim there, and you see like two of these rabbanim speaking, and then you like inch, you know, you want to get closer and closer just to like hear the conversation and hear what's going on there. I remember when it was so, and I just happened to see this picture that I took. It was a while ago. I can't remember whose wedding it was by, but I took a picture. The wedding was in Borough Park, under the tracks at the Palace. Mm. Right, the Palace is the one on the. Yeah, I get always the names of Eden Palace and Palace, yeah, but the Palace is the one at the Palace. That's where it was. Now I can't remember offhand whose wedding it was, but the Rebbe, my Rebbe Spiegel, the Asher Kalshina Rebbe, and Rebbe Weinberger were both there, and they were both talking. I was right next to them, and they were talking. Like right before the chuppah, and I took a picture. It was like a beautiful picture, but I also like, I remember like, you know, inching a little closely, trying to like, what's up? I want in on that, you know. So Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, what are you trying to think? I don't remember. It was a few years ago. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was speaking to Rav Yehuda Anasi, and he says to Rav Yehuda Anasi as follows: Yisrael kedoshim hein, us Jews were holy. Listen to this line. Yesh rotze ve'ein lo. Talking about giving tzedakah. There are those that want to give tzedakah, and they just don't have what to give. So this is a kedusha. I wish I could give. V'yesh yesh lo ve'ein rotze. And there are those that want it, that have, yesh lo, he has money, but don't want to give. So kedusha me. So what's the obvious question? I can understand this Tosfos' question already. I can understand the people that want to give but don't have. It's kadosh that they still have a desire, they have a ratzon, but you have and you don't want to give. So you're kadosh. We call those people a rasha. Like we're like really? It's a miser. A yassel, right? Yassel was maybe this is the Gemara talking about Yassel, because we know Yassel was actually Kaddush. So maybe this is the Makar of Yassel. It seemed like that. I mean, this was meant to the outside, but I don't think that's what it's talking about. Let's see what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, "Vafilu achi yikre kedoshim shemiz zamin es chaver leachol etzlo." Even though he doesn't want to, he invites his friend to eat by him. Mipnei haboishes, because otherwise he'd be embarrassed. He'd look bad. He'd look like a miser. So he's still giving. But the obvious question is, even on Tosfos, that's a kadosh. Okay, so he's helping, doesn't want to, but he's only doing it out of embarrassment. He's not doing it because he wants to do the mitzvah. Like, why is that a kadosh? What do you mean you throw kadosh from him? That's not a holy person. In our view, that wouldn't be a holy person. So listen to what Rabbi Zisha says. You know, we know famously, and maybe if you pay attention closely, it's actually just a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This sounds like a very Kabbalistic idea, but it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that every time we do a mitzvah, we create a malach. That's an idea we all know from like nursery. All our nursery school teachers know to teach us that. Like everybody, there are people that won't know what bracha to make on a pretzel, but know that you create a malach when you do a mitzvah, right? Like that's one of those like givens in life. Givens. But it's a Mishnah in Avos. It's not real. It's a Mishnah in the fourth parak. Here it's a Mishnah Yudalev. Sometimes, you know, Mishnais and Avos are funny. They often, depending what you have, is mixed up a little bit. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Osa mitzvah achas, Koine lo praklet echad. You do a mitzvah, you're a koine a praklet. What's a praklet? It's a strange lashon. But you look at the Rav, malach melet toiv. You create a malach. But Rav Zusha explains as follows: there's all different types of malachim, and there's two steps in creating the malach. Each malach, just like us, has a neshama and a guf, has a soul and a body. Whatever that body is, it's a spiritual being body. It's not like our body, but it has a body and a soul. And he says, Rav Zusha explains, what creates the body, the physical body? The maisa, the action. And what creates the neshama? The machshava, the avanira. So he says as follows, sometimes a person has a lot of money, and he gives tzedakah, but he gives it begrudgingly. He gives it out of boishas. So he had a maisa, b'li machshava. Right? He had a maisa without the thought. And sometimes you have people that have such desire, ein lob and roitza, they want to give so badly, they're thinking about it, their heart's in it, they just don't have what to give. They wish they could give. An ani comes into shul, I wish I could give him, I just don't have anything. And some people, their mamish wallets are full of $100 bills. They mamish 4 days ago invested in Dogecoin and are like making it big time. And Lameisa, they begrudgingly give the guy a quarter. So listen to what this Rav Zusha explains. The truth is, his brother Nemel Melchin in Parshat Mitzora, this week's Parshat, also says a similar idea almost. He says, you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? With those two yidden. So one of them created a guf of a malach, one of them only created a neshama of a malach. Neither of those are pretty good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know the Gemara says, is mitztaref machshava l'maisa. What does that mean? We thought mitztaref machshava l'maisa means within a person. Mitztaref machshava l'maisa means he'll take one person who has machshava and one person who has maisa and put it together so they're both kadosh. Kol Yisrael, we're all interconnected. We're all a unit. We're all one. We're all Klal Yisrael. Ba'amech kulam tzadikim, as a nation, as one. And we literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us together, right? It's like the machzus hashekel that we give. We become one. So my machshava, your maisa, together we're one, and kilu both of us had machshava and maisa. And that's what Rav Zusha says the Gemara means, what Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael as a whole, our kedoshim are holy, put them together, you got a beautiful yid, you got machshava and maisa, you got beautiful malachim that are being created. What a beautiful idea. First of all, it's an incredible idea in Arvus. And by the way, the Noam El Melech extends this not just to tzedakah, but all mitzvos and limud HaTorah as well. The Noam El Melech says in this week's parsha, in the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun, famous Gemara, right? La'olam yilmod adam shelo lishma shmetoch lishma lishma bal lishma. So we think that just means each person individually, even if you're not ready to learn lishma, learn lo lishma, you'll come to learn lishma, right? He says, no. Shmetoch lo lishma, bal lishma. The person who's lo lishma, the person lishma, ba, he'll bring it together. He'll bring it together and become one. You are learning shelo lishma. This one is lishma. He wants to be learning deeply, but whatever reason can't, and he has to work and he has to this. Right, so one person, he's sitting and learning, but he doesn't have the right kavanas, doesn't have the right machshavas, even though he can. One person wants to learn, I'm dying to learn, but I have to be in a college class, and I have to be working, and I have to be watching my siblings, and I have to be doing, that's Ratzon Hashem. So I want to learn, but I'm not learning. And he's learning, and his kavanas not there. He puts them together as well. Toch shalal shema, bol shema, together. They come together. Whole Arvus. It's a beautiful thing. The oneness of Mom, did you ever think about such a Yisod of Arvus? Such a Yisod of Arvus. I was thinking this the other day. Yidid Nafshi, very close Chaver Tov of mine, Rabbi Avi Weber. Rabbi Weber. So unfortunately lost his grandfather a few days ago. Pretty sudden. His grandfather was a very special, vibrant, special person. A very special person, Mr. Erwin Weber. Zeichus Adikash Vracha. If you ever been in, you probably all knew what he, if you ever went to Davin, the White Shul, you probably knew who he was. You just didn't know his name. He was one of these old-time White Shul Yidden. And Rabbi Feiner spoke at the Levaya. He told incredible stories, and you know how Rabbi Feiner speaks. But he said this one story was so pashut, but so with such amkus and such beauty of Arvus. And he said how basically there was a 10-year-old boy who lost his grandfather in the shul. And the 10-year-old boy, obviously he was sad, he's 10, he lost his grandfather, he's close to him. So Mr. Weber went over to him and said to him, you know, I'm going to be your grandfather. And he started to sit next to this boy. And for the next 26 years, he sat next to him every single Shabbos. And took him and said, you're going to be my grandson. And he did other things for him. He had a toy business. He'd give him, you know, obviously took care of him like a grandson in every way. But he mamish and sat next to him every Shabbos. And it came Yom Noroyim, he had to switch his seats, and he couldn't sit next to him for whatever reason. He went over to him, and in the middle of davening, and he comes over to him and says, I'm so sorry, I know, you're my grandson, I'm sorry. He managed to sit next to him for 26 years. and how it made this kid feel. Avi Weber told me he heard the story, he was blown away. He went over to Refiner at the Levaya and says, "Is that really true? Is that really a true story?" He says, "Yeah, not only is it true, the guy was here. It's a graveside, Levaya, he was here." And I put it together, I'm 99.9% sure who the person is. It made more sense because the person's father, I'm pretty sure, davens with my father every morning, Nate. And that's why the father wasn't there to daven next to him. So, meaning the father, so the boy was there by himself and without his grandfather he used to seemingly sit with. And Mr. Weber said, "You're my grandson." Because as Yidden, we're one. We're mamish. We're one. We're one. We don't need to be biological grandchildren. That's why Eretz Yisrael has to let us all in. We're all first degree relatives. You know what I'm saying? Like, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We're all first cousins. Yisrael is a whole arkadoshim heim. That's what the Gemara says. Yisrael arkadoshim heim. That's what Pinchas Meir always said. Because we're one. And we're mitzdarif to each other. We all, let's be real. We all have our mailus and we all have our chesronus. Every one of us. Every one of us here. If we opened ourselves up, we have tremendous mailas. And all of us differently. Some of us have such a mailas b'torah. Some of us have such kavan in our davening. Some of us are such sweet, wonderful, bali chesed. And all of us have our chesronos. All of us have our areas that need a lot of work. And our areas we're embarrassed about. And areas that we don't want to be opening up. But Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, as a unit together, we're mitzdarif each other. We're one. We're one. And it's such a chizik to know that we're one. But there's a deeper chizik. It's a chizik already to know that we could complement each other and we're part of this incredible family. And even if I have, I'm one, I have your zechusim, you have my zechusim. And like we're in this together. There's something incredible about that. It's beautiful. And that's the koyach of a minyan. And the koch of davening and learning in a base knesset, a base medrash. These are real. There's something real to that. We believe in it. And we're uplifted and we gain zchustim through it. And I'm not just relying on myself. Because myself is very scary. That's why, open up. Open up Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim V'lajner in Pirkei Avos, at the end of the second parak, on the words, Alti Rasha B'fnei Atzmacha. Don't be a Rasha by yourself. Pasha Pshat, people think it means, you know, when you're by yourself, don't be a Rasha. Because when you're by yourself, no one's watching. It's easy to fall, right? It's easier to fall in the privacy of your own room. Don't be a Rasha. It's a chizik. But he says, you know what that's talking about? Anyone know what the Chaim Lajer says, Alti Rasha B'nei Atzmacha is talking about? You know, read it. His language is incredible. He says, it's talking about davening b'chidus. What's pshat? We've spoken about davening b'chidus before. Even there's a koyach to it, possibly. But I'm not going to get into that right now. But definitely it's not something we should do often. And we should try to daven the minyan. He says, why? He says, because when you daven the minyan, no matter what, your tefillos are accepted. And therefore, your yoytze, the mitzvah tefillah. If you daven by yourself, if you don't have pachad and yira and ema and kavana, it's not only that you don't have good tefillos, your tefillos are not even accepted, it's ki'ilu, you didn't even daven. So I'll take Rasha b'mnacha. Don't be a Rasha and daven by yourself and be by yourself. If you look, by the way, it's probably the most pashut understanding of that line, because if you look at the rest of the whole Mishnah, it's all about tefillah. To breathe it inside. It's an incredible, strong language and the importance of davening the minyan. But it's really all this. It's arvus. Now let's take this and understand bris milah, chevra. Listen to this. Incredible. Avinu is told to get a bris milah 99. You ever think about it? Why so late? And this is a Torah some of you have learned before. Why when he's 99? So there's a medrash that says because Yitzchak was going to be born at 100 and Yitzchak had to be born out of Kedusha, meaning there's going to be conception and we need that there should be a bris milah before the Zera leaves Avram Avinu that's going to go and be Boyre Yitzchak Avinu. But that doesn't answer the question, that medrash. That just says that had to happen sometime before. That could have also happened 50 years earlier. Like, why did Hashem make him wait so long? Before we get why Hashem made him wait so long, why'd Avram wait? Avram, we know, this famous Gemara in Yuma, kept all the mitzvahs. Avram kept, he had intuition and understanding, and he was able on his own to understand what the mitzvahs should be, and he kept the mitzvahs. So why didn't he do bris milah? So that already, the Shlach Kodesh famously says, God the mitzvah v'osah v'sheinah mitzvah v'osah. because it's a higher level mitzvah to do it when you're commanded than when you're doing it on your own. Whether that be because there's the Yetzer Hara, whether it be because of the Daiga, there's different answers why. But it's better to be a mitzvah you're commanded, to do a mitzvah you're commanded to. And he understood through a chodesh he's going to be commanded eventually. And also, it's a one-time mitzvah. If you do it earlier, you can't ever do a mitzvah. So he wouldn't do it till he was commanded. That makes sense. Why did Hashem wait so long? It's a little one that I saw from the Shvila Pinchas, Rabbi Amir Pinchas Friedman, Shlita. He said, you know, we find that famous Lashon by these days of Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva was yearning, imamish, aching to die out Kiddush Hashem. He's waiting and waiting, right? We know the famous Gemara. When you wait to do something, there's a tshuka. How much of tshuka does each and every one of us have right now to go to Eretz Yisrael? Like never before. Mamish, I'm dying. I'm crying every night. If I tell you how many tickets I booked, I mean, I booked for Yom Kippur. I booked for January. I booked for in a month from now, which I might have to cancel tomorrow, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep it. I don't know. I just booked because I got to just go there, so I know that I have tickets. I got to go. I can't take it anymore. All week I've been called. You don't know how many people I called this week to try to figure out how to get into Eretz Yisrael. I can't take it anymore. Such tshuka, when you're waiting for something for a long time, there's such yearning. Chavrus, it should bother all of us. We haven't been in Eretz Yisrael. Our homeland, we haven't been there. We haven't davened by the Kaisel. Hashem's not letting us. There's still chisaron in our lives, big time. There's chisaron when Gaulus, that's for sure also, but... You know, today, those, maybe not everybody here knows, today was Yom HaTzmot, you know. No, we have a lot of different Ashkafas, and it's good, that's part of the, what's so beautiful, we accept everybody, we love everybody. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to talk, I'm not talking about the Yom HaTzmot right now, and there are all different opinions on the Yunt of Halal, no Halal, is it something to talk about, not something, I don't get into any of that, it's politics. You know what I get into, and what I thought about today, and what I spoke all day about to all my shiurim in DRS? Loving Eretz Yisrael. And feeling Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And that we should all yearn to live in Eretz Yisrael. Someone showed me a tweet from someone, a friend of mine, that sent and I don't think this tweet is true across the board, but it was one of the saddest tweets I've ever seen in my life. Almost. Said it was something, it was like stereotyping modern orthodoxy. I don't remember the exact line, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the extent of, you know, we have to ensure, and it's like the biggest mitzvah in the world, an obligation to have blue and white cookies, but we would disown our children if they decide to live in Eretz Yisrael. And like, it ripped my heart out. As Metallica once said, sad but true, you know? And it was so disturbing. Now, again, I think Baruch Hashem, there are many people who don't, even I'm talking about in the modern sexual world, then would be excited and cherished if their children live in Eretz Yisrael, and also want the blue and white. Listen, blue and white cookies are great. I brought home blue and white cookies for the family. How can you not? You know, but Lemaisa, you know, to me, what should Yom HaTzmut be for all of us? A yearning to live in Eretz Yisrael, not to visit Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, to be there forever. The default should be I live in Eretz Yisrael. If we have a good reason, if you have a good reason, I'm not saying it's us or if you have a good reason, but it shouldn't be because I was raised in America or because I was raised in the Five Towns and I for sure get married and live in Queens for 4 years and then buy a house in the Five Towns and hope to one day have an apartment that I can go Sukkot January and the Chayes Nish Pesach to Eretz Yisrael. No, like Lemaisa should be I hope to live in Eretz Yisrael. If I don't for good reason, that's a different discussion. And I'm not. And again, there is some good reason, and we have to be besimcha wherever we are. And hopefully each and every one of your parents has good reasons. If not, it's sad. I can say that straight up. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying if not, it's sad. Because we have the schus to live in our homeland for generations, close to 2,000 years, nobody could in the way that we can. And we're just choosing not to. If you have a good reason, you have a good reason. Otherwise, that's where we're supposed to be. That's where we should want to be. Every one of us feels more ourselves there. Every one of us is more alive there. Every one of us enjoys every moment there more than we enjoy here. What are we even thinking about? Someone could say differently? No, but it's hard to live in Eretz Yisrael. Did you ever do it? To say it's hard? And maybe it is hard. Mr. Snafish. For something important. You have tshuka when something's taken away from you, when you're waiting for it for a long time. So it comes Shvila Pinchas, Rabbi Amir Shlita, and says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited till Avram was 99 for Bris Milah. He wanted him to build the most incredible tshuka for this mitzvah, so that when he's mekayim it, it's with the greatest ava and the greatest yira, like nobody else. Why? Why was that so important specifically? You know why that's so important? As the pasuk says in Parsha Lech Lecha by Bris Milah, Parak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Vakimosius Brisi Beini Uveinecha Ubein Zarecha Acharecha L'Dayroisam L'Bris Olam. Because this Bris Milah is not just for you. This Bris Milah is going to be for your children and your children's children. Meaning what? Listen to what the Shvilich Vinchos puts together based on the Torah that we learned together from Rav Zusha and now bringing it all home. Listen to this guy's Moiridik. He says, Avram Avinu had to be Mekayim Bris Milah only after 99 years so he could have the most Avan Yira. You know why? Because one day there's going to be 8-day-old babies after Avram, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, up until us. And can include on Sunday morning, Avram spits his son. And he's going to be Mekayim Bris Milah. And that 8-year-old baby is going to do the Maisa. But where's the Avin Yura? Where are the Gadfin? Where are going to be the wings to carry it up to Shemayim? Lachnisal Lebrisal Shavavinu. You know how? Because we're Arvis. And we already explained based on the Torah of Zusha, Yisrael Kedoy Shemayim and Mistarif Machshava Lemaisa. The Machshava one with the Maisa specifically with Tzar Tzadikim. The machshavas of Avram Avinu are intertwined with every single maisa of Bris Milah. And that baby's godfin of Avin Yira is the tshuka of Avram Avinu. Unbelievable. And that's, of course, why we have a second bracha. You have a bracha of Al Mila and the maisa. You have bracha, also, don't forget, lachniso lebrisel she Avram Avinu. Don't forget that the Avin Yira comes from Avram. By the way, I mean, the Torah is incredible, and we're going to build one more deep remez on this, but what a chizik teaching every one of us. You know, there's a famous idea from Tanu D'Leo, Chayev Loimer, Masai Yagati, Masai L'Masai Avasai. When am I going to be zoichet to reach the Maisim of my forefathers, of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? And you think to yourself, that's such a crazy thing to say. Am I any connection to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? And the answer is yes, you're part and parcel. We have the blood of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We have the chemical makeup of them. We can be like them, and we're connected to them, and we have the schus to be mitzarev to them. We have to believe in that. And now we can understand another remez, the Shul Pincha says, unreal. You ready? There's a famous remez, I'm sure many of you heard, specifically Shoiv from time. In Parashas Nitzavim, the famous psukim in Perek Lamed, right? Ki ha-mitzvah is also sh'neichi mitzavcha yom lo nefleisi mechav lo rechoyki. So the pasuk says one part of that is lo b'shamayim ilemer mi yala lanu hashamayim. That pashup shot is the mitzvahs are not up in shamayim, and take the words and let's now take them in a vacuum. Mi yala lanu hashamayim. Who's going to lift us up to shamayim? Now the pashup shot is we don't have to say that because we have it right here, Torah mitzvahs, and we can connect to it. But just taking those words in a vacuum, mi yala lanu hashemayim. So famous, the Rashi tevos are what? What are the Rashi tevos? Mi yala lanu hashemayim. Mila. The soife tevos of mi yala lanu hashemayim are what? Havaya. Okay, vavke. Beautiful, but what's Ma'ayin Shemitah Letzer Sinai? Like, what does Miyala No Shemaimah have anything to do with Bris Milah? And why is the end Shem Havaya? Listen to this. Mamish, bringing it all together. You ready, Chevra? Just to hear this was worth coming together tonight. From Rabbi Meir Shvil Pinchas. He says, it all makes sense, but let's introduce it in this way. Shem Havaya, we all know, or we should know, stands for Haya Hoiva V'Yiya, right? Those letters. And that's the name of Hashem that represents an understanding of the omnipresent place of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is before, he's in the present and he's in the future, all at one time. Now again, we can't even comprehend what that means, but we can at least say it. He's above time. And he's living simultaneously at every moment in the past, present, and future. Shem Pincha says, what? Mila is miyala lana shemaima. We say by Mila, who's going to lift us up? Meaning, where are the godfin? Where are they going to be the wings by Mila? How are they going to lift up? It's an 8-day-old baby. There's no avin yira. There's no avin yira. There's no kavan. No wings. So veitevas havaya. Kach Baruch Hu lives in the past, present, and future all at once. He's above time. So even though Avraham Avinu lived way, 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 way back in the past, Kadosh Baruch Hu sees Avram's machshava, and our ma'isa mitzvah kilu at one time because he's avaya. The Yalon Shemaima will lift us up now. Incredible, mamsh, incredible. And then we can understand it in a deeper way. One more Gemara. There's a very famous Gemara in Menachos, Chevra. Very famous Gemara in Menachos. You all know this Gemara, but we're going to understand it now in a new light. I'll read you the Gemara. Short story of David HaMelech. Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Mebeis. The next Gemara is Mem Dalet, is the famous Maisa with the Zoyna, with the Tzitzis. But anyways, okay. That's a lot of chizuk. We've spoken about that before. B'shosh shenichnas David lebeis amerchatz v'ra'atz ma'oy made arum. David Melch entered into the bathhouse, saw himself nude, naked. Amar oyli she'amod arum below mitzvah. Woe is me, I'm standing here naked with no mitzvah. B'kevin shenisker b'mila she'b'sara. But then he remembered, he saw he has his bris mila on his flesh. Nisyashva daito lachish yatam alashira. And he was able to sing and he was very happy. No matter what, he has a mitzvah. Pashup shot. Shem Pinchas explains, David went into the merichat, David went into the washhouse. What does that mean? He went to be mekadish himself, he went to be metar himself, he went to fix himself, he went to work on himself. And David Melch said, and sometimes we all say, how am I going to wash myself? I have no koyach. I've fallen, I never get back up, I never wash myself. Where am I going to get it from? Where am I going to, I have nothing, who am I? I hardly learn properly, I hardly daven properly, I'm falling in taivas. I'm Aram. And then he saw his Mila. When you see your Mila, you remember, are you serious? You're Ben Avram Avinu. That Mila, that mitzvah by definition, connects you to Avram Avinu. You have the koyach of Avram Avinu! And it gave him all the necham in the world. And it gives us all the necham in the world. And that's something we all have to believe in and we all have to understand. That we're connected to the past. We're connected to Avram. We're Ben Avram. We're Bnei Yisrael. We're Ben Yaakov. We're Ben Yitzchak. And we have their kochos within us. We have an arvus even today. We're arvus with each other. And we have to believe in that as well. We have to believe and understand that we have an achrayus also to do properly because there's so many Jews that are not. But when we do, we lift them up. We lift them up by being role models, but even we lift them up just by our ma'isim, that Hashem will be mitzdarif to others. So it gives us chizuk both ways. In being the one that can give to others, but also when we need, recognizing we're connected to the biggest of tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a batana, mamish tonight, when I was finishing up shir. If you take the gematria, ma soid bris mila. What's the soid of bris mila? What's the secret of bris mila? What's the soid? Gematria 812. Exactly gematria. Ze machshava lemaisa. Ze machshava lemaisa. Mamish exact. The soid of bris mila is ze machshava lemaisa. Is that Hashem, in this we find there's a connection of machshava lemaisa. Ma soid bris mila, exactly matches that machshava lemaisa. You can't make these things up. It's mamish siyat yishmaya. It's starfus to bigger things. You know, I was thinking about this. And recently I was just thinking about the following, and I've had this a few times, I'm sure many of us also have had this. It's not like a deep story, but it brings something special. I have one of my yedidim, one of my chevra knows, is Rabbi Yechiel Weberman. Yechiel Weberman is a Rebbe with me in DRS. So I had a chelek. Oh, looking at Shlomo, I had the opposite chelek. Watch this. Oh, it's good timing, Shlomo. Shkech. So with Michiel Weberman, so I was, when I was already back from learning in the mirror, so I learned when I was Zeicha, I was learning in the mirror, so one of my chavrusas in the mirror was Avi Shapiro. Avi Shapiro is Mordechai Shapiro's oldest brother. Mordechai's older brother, Josh, was a close friend of mine, we were together with an MTA. Avi was 2 years older than me in MTA. And then we learned together in the mirror. We lived in Dira together, we learned together in the mirror, and then we went back after the mirror, we were both in YU together. Why we went to the mirror YU, Kasha Lemaisa for another time. But anyways, Lemaisa. Um, Baruch Hashem, my time in YU was a tremendous time of Limud HaTorah and tremendous time with Rabbeim and Chevra. Really, it was a big time of growth in my life. You know, that might not be the norm. But Lamaisa. Lamaisa. No, no, I didn't mean that. You can't grow there. I meant not the norm to go from Mir to YU. I really didn't mean that. I'm not saying that. Oh, yeah, I just can't go on YU Torah. That's not what I meant. Mavish. I really didn't mean that. MS, I didn't mean that. MS, I didn't mean that. I would have, if I meant that, I would have turned off the recording for it at least. Okay, anyways. Anyways, so I was continued to learn. We learned night Seder together. And it was a time we both, Baruch Hashem, it was a special time. I was engaged and he was getting engaged, whatever it was. It was a very special time in our lives, and even though he's 2 years older, we were in similar stages in life, and we learned a lot and grew a lot. It was great. Of course, he's much smarter than me and lives in Eretz Yisrael, but that's another discussion. Anyways, Lamaisa. So at the time, I thought of his cousins. His cousin is, he has a cousin, Adina Shapiro, who was friends with my wife, and who I knew also, different reasons, maybe, whatever, it doesn't matter. Now, Adina's like really tall, you know, like we're Jewish people, most of us not, but she's like really tall. And then I didn't know him well, but I knew Rabbi Yechiel Weberin, like just through guys. He's also a few years older than me, but through friends of his, and like, Yechiel's very tall, you know? So I said to myself, wow, maybe this is a good shidduch, you know? They both had certain personalities that made sense also, I knew, but I didn't know either of them well, but I said, maybe it's a good shidduch. But again, I'm this young little 19-year-old pesher. I don't know how to make a shidduch. I don't know what it would be to make a shidduch. So Avi's cousin, so I mentioned the idea, the machshava to Avi. I said, maybe this is a good shidduch. So the cousin, he felt uncomfortable with the cousin. He spoke to his friend Steve Maskoff, who was a friend of mine, and Steve Maskoff decided that he took the initiative and went and set it up. And the rest is history. There, Baruch Hashem, married for 20 years and with a beautiful mishpacha. So in that situation, we brought about. Oh, so Shlomo sitting next to me over here was pumfakert. Shlomo was pumfakert with me. What, you don't know what I'm talking about? Just now. What do you mean? Shloimela, okay, because it wasn't you, it was your wife. But you're one. So his wife, Aviva, had an incredible idea, but Shlomo was a part of it, to set up her friend, Anael, with our Talmud. He did Nafshi, who was here every Thursday night, but he happens to be, for the first time, finally meeting his future in-laws in Canada, Eitan Yitzchak Shabbat, and they had a great idea. And for various reasons, people felt, whatever it was, that even though it was fully their idea, whatever, but the side is better for a shadchan, that someone else perhaps should be the shadchan. So it was fully his machshava, and I was the one who actually did the maisa, and was ultimately the actual just playing the shadchan, even though it was his idea. So we were mamish the same idea, right next to him. Beautiful. Machshava mitzarfu maisa, and look where Rabbi Weberman and his wife Adina, his rebbetzin, are mamish. Beautiful marriage, beautiful children, beautiful simcha and bracha. And Amir Tzashem, Eitan Yitzchak, and Anael, Baruch Hashem, L'chassan, and Kal, Shebel, D'Bayit Nam Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha, Beth Hashem, Yisbarach. And we see how you can have Mitzdarif, Machshav, and Maisa in the most beautiful ways. And each is an extreme important part. And so too in our lives. In Bris Milah, we see this Yisoid, but it's the Yisoid again, Chevra, of this tremendous arvus that we have to Avim Avinu. And that means we're super connected to Tzadikim. We have it in us. And we have to believe in that. And we have to believe in our tzarfus and our arvus to others. And serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most beautiful ways. And that way all our mitzvahs should have Godfin, should have the proper wings to fly up to Shemayim in the proper way. And through all those mitzvahs and all the malachim that we create, we'll be Zoychesh and we'll take all that and mitzvah, all that together to Zoychesh, to Gulashleim, with Mishach Keinu, B'mehera, B'mehera.